morning, everybody. Today is Monday, February 13th, 2017. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Monday, everyone. It is a snowy 29 degrees and coming down with Lake Effect snow here in upstate New York. I don't know. We got pretty hammered last night. I wasn't expecting all the snow. So where do we leave off on Friday? We titled the show AI VR Hijacks Mayhem DARPA and Anti-Propaganda. We talked about some really disturbing things. One of them was it appears that mayhem, that shape-shifting immune system for the internet created during the Cyber Grand Challenge that DARPA was holding in Vegas in August, that shape-shifting immune system that could go out without any human intervention and determine who is friend and who is foe in the internet and shut down, search, and destroy any type of holes or vulnerabilities that were discovered. But they're now talking about making this available commercially. We read a story Friday that said that DARPA was doing just that, or not DARPA, Carnegie Mellon. DARPA held the contest. Carnegie Mellon wrote the software. And it appears to me that they have allowed Skynet to go be autonomous out there and start scanning to see what kind of vulnerabilities they could find. Now, we also found, talking about rich tech billionaire-ish people, we also found Mark Zuckerberg wants to cure all disease. And the day before we discovered Elon Musk thinks that we should get some sort of neural mesh, so we'll be able to compete against the AI that is coming. Now, I told you I like Elon Musk, but I wasn't too fond of that idea. And it gets even crazier. Of course, we found out AI is smarter than the average American already. We got AI in the machine. We got AI in medicine. We have AI in government someday. You just wait and see. Hasty decisions are made from imperfect humans that utilize their emotions to make decisions. We're going to take care of that for you, Johnny. There won't be any more inferior feelings. Well, there was a story that came out of Singularity Hub. This was a couple months ago. We tried to get this started a couple days. We didn't quite make it. So I think we're going to kick it off here because I found a video that was like my every worst nightmare come true. I'd like to play that a little bit later here. It's only a couple minutes, but this guy, I don't know what his name was, but he sure sounded like Vlad. He had a very, I don't know if it was either Russian or thick Middle Eastern accent, but they're doing this news show called Lips TV. And they were covering some of the new technological advances from DARPA. And the dude was a techno junkie. He loved technology. But it was really amazing to see how somebody who hasn't quite understood what's going on starts to connect the dots. And this guy starts to see exactly what we've been saying. Like, you know, they're working on the brain project and they're importing and inserting memories. And it's all in the name of PTSD. But, oh, what if they start doing this to normal people? It's just really incredible to see the little hamster wheel turn in somebody's head as he starts realizing all the horrors that this could lead to. And, you know, maybe we'll kick that off here because This was a really good clip, and then it'll give us something good to talk about than all these other stories I got lined up here. Hold on. I gotta find Jules. Do do do. I gotta find Jules. There we go. And it's Monday anyway. All right, I just gotta answer. All right, here we go. Hey, it worked. All right, this is titled simply DARPA developing brain chip, but this is way more than him just talking about a brain chip. Just pay attention to the way this guy starts looking at all the, he's reading news stories like, oh, DARPA's doing this, and it's in the name of this. Oh. And then as he starts realizing, like, really what this all means. So here we go. TheLip.tv. DARPA and the brain chip.
Of our longtime viewers, you probably know what DARPA stands for and what they are researching on. But if you don't, DARPA is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, is one of the most secretive arms of the military, and they are engaged in plenty of research, many types of the research, many to advance the military power, and many also to have applications that are non-violent and they don't have anything to do with war. And one of them is to install chips in the head of military members. This is pretty controversial, but the reality is that one of the concerns is the fact that there's a lot of traumatic brain injury, and a lot of people come back with PTSD, and they're trying to create these chips that, when installed, they record a version of the brain before the war, so they can actually see how the brain needs to come back to after the war and the trauma that they experience. Also, to
Now, he talked about something here that caught me yesterday that I don't ever remember us seeing in literature, but it sure makes sense and it sure answers questions. So before they send them to war, they literally record what their brain looks like before they end up with trauma. And I'm assuming that they're doing fMRIs or some sort of brain scan where they can see frequencies. I don't know. But they're recording the brain beforehand so then they can attempt, after damage, to recreate the brain afterward.
monitor the chemical changes in the brain that are associated with depression, with mood swings. So this research is very powerful. I think we have to focus on the fact that it's being developed in order to help people when they come back adjust and deal with post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, we have
Ding, it's all about curing you and keeping you safe.
journalist Annie Jacobsen. She's coming out with a book chronicled the history of DARPA. It's called The Pentagon's Brain. And she says
She
that
mentions this.
yes, there is need for that, but at the same time, don't forget that DARPA is part of the military, and at the end, they want to weaponize. He's afraid that
Ding. This is some new book that we should get this. It's called The Pentagon's Brain by Annie Jacobsen. An uncensored history of DARPA. Looks really damn good.
they are trying to do two things. One, create super soldiers that have no remorse, that they can actually
Ding.
Korean candidate style is what
exactly,
this reminds me
exactly.
of.
And the other one is tapping into the brain, recording how the brain works, so they can actually develop artificial intelligence from that data. It's pretty crazy.
Ding. I mean, guys, this is everything we've been talking about. Hold on. Freeze there, Jose. The Super Soldier program, I'm telling you, they want to be able to manipulate those brain chemicals so there is no more fear. So when they start to sense immediately that a soldier is starting to hesitate as he's going into a dangerous situation, they want to be able to either control directly or have something inside of that soldier that can control the quote unquote failure. Because they're soldiers, remember, you're supposed to go into scary situations and have them overcome that fear chemical with some sort of adrenaline chemical or dopamine chemical to encourage them to keep moving forward. But not only that, I mean, he was talking about how when they come back, they're going to be able to zippity zap and try and make the brain back to where it was beforehand. And use this stuff to be able to get into their heads. Guys, the scanning technology as it increases and improves, is getting higher and higher resolution. And we've talked about Kurzweil. Kurzweil says in 2030, we're going to have nanobots attached to our neocortex, connecting us to the cloud. Well, I'm going to tell you, they're using soldiers and the need to get into their heads because of all this quote-unquote damage done by warfare as the initial guinea pigs for a lot of this. And he was saying, you know, in the future, here we are going to have... I don't even remember when he said. I kept losing my thought. Hold on. It's early, guys. I feel pretty stuffy. Let's hear what he says.
What they are researching on. But if you don't, DARPA is the...
Hold on. Back up, Jose. I was listening.
We know what DARPA stands for and what they are researching on. But if you don't, DARPA is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency's...
Well, military.
Secretive arms...
Oh, I know. They want to be able to upload your brain to the computer. Why do you think they are recording our brain waves? You know, of course, it's to be able to set it back to where it was. But eventually... they're going to get everybody's brain imprint, and then it's going to be uploading, downloading, Nana, Christmas time. I've joked about that. I know we've laughed because it is kind of funny. And we could do all the different decades worth of Nana, but in honesty, it's not funny. It's the only way I stop myself from like completely freaking out over this stuff is to make fun of it and laugh, but it's not really a joke. I hope no one ever thought I was joking about this stuff.
Of the military, and they are engaged in plenty of research, many types of the research, many to advance the military power, and many also to have applications that are non-violent and they don't have anything to do with war. And one of them is to install chips in the head of military members. This is pretty controversial, but the reality is that one of the concerns is the fact that there's a lot of traumatic brain injury, and a lot of people come back with PTSD, and they're trying to... create these chips that when installed, they record a version of the brain before the war. So they can actually see how the brain needs to come back to after the war and the trauma that they experience. Also to monitor the chemical changes in the brain that are associated with depression, with mood swings. So this research is very powerful. I think we have to focus on the fact that it's being developed in order to help people when they come back adjust and deal with post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, we have journalist Annie Jacobson. She's coming out with a book chronicled the history of DARPA. It's called The Pentagon's Brain. And she says that, yes, there is need for that. But at the same time, don't forget that DARPA is part of the military. And at the end, they want to weaponize. She's afraid that they are trying to do two things. One, create super soldiers that have no remorse, that they can actually tap...
Manchurian Candidate style.
Exactly,
Manchurian Candidate.
Yep. Tapping into the brain, recording how the brain works, so they can actually develop artificial intelligence from that data. It's pretty crazy.
Dang, and they are.
At the same time, because we have 2.5 million Americans who've served in Iraq and Afghanistan coming home, 300,000 have traumatic brain injuries, so you would hope that something would help them, but at the same time... this is very Manchurian Candidate. You can see the sinister aspect of something being implanted in your brain. I mean, what's next? Does it control you? Do we get to that place where your thoughts are not your own anymore? I mean, that's a little too...
That's exactly Anis Jacobson reservations. The fact that the type of research, when you see at the research, you might say, yeah, that sounds a little conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. But if you put two and two together and you start, like we reported before, the advancement in technology, in nanotechnology, the fact that we are now teaching the brain how to regrow nerves with guides, like you reported, I think it's very important to start to connect the dots and see the possibility is there. I think I'm more afraid about the fact that they're going to implant sensors in your brain that can actually record your brain activity and reuse it to model artificial intelligence, to control drones. They also are thinking, she claims that there is a possibility of controlling your thoughts, or even communicate only by thought in between. And DARPA actually has research that has these applications. They have
it sure
two
does.
Main one is called RAM, Restoring Active Memory, and this is one to help soldiers when they come back. You know, you restore better memories than the one that they developed during the war. So when they come back home, they can get, you know, integrated faster. And then the other one is Remind. Restorative Encoding Memory Integrational Neural Device, and it's a chip that actually is going to monitor your brain. It's going to tell you the moment that you're starting getting depressed, there's going to be chemical changes, and they're going to send a signal. What
I'm going to pause here for a minute because the most frightening thing is we covered this this mental neurological monitoring that is now a part of the 21st Century Cures Act that was passed into law. All in the name of mental health. Remember, we got Tommy Insel, who left as the director of the National Institute of Mental Health and went over to Google Verily. We got DARPA Dan at Google Verily. Guys, I've been digging into some real stuff over the last few days, and all I gotta say is be ready, because none of this is fantasy. And these guys are just kind of like looking at this technology and he's going, oh, look, look, look. I mean, this is not fantasy in any way, shape, or form, and it is coming faster than you possibly think.
What if we put a modem on the chip and now they communicate to the motherboard?
You know, we're going to help you. We're going to give you some relief, especially if you've had trauma. But we might take a little bit of your autonomy. We're probably not going to tell you that last part. That scares me. Just say no. Anybody listening to this, you know, hopefully, do people have a choice whether they receive the chip or not? Do we know?
Well, here's the thing. According to Defense One, an online magazine that covers the military and is the only...
And Defense One, I actually get stories out of there. I think it's defenseone.gov. I'll find it. I'll put it in the link. But they cover a lot of new DARPA... projects that are rolling out and they're experimenting with in a public sense. It's typically a publication, I believe, for military and ex-military.
The only place where I actually found an official statement on the matter, it was from last year, where DARPA was announcing this project and everything was framed around PTSD. Now, they said at the time that they were still in development and the testing phase wouldn't be happening till 5 years, so maybe in the 3 upcoming years. Now, we know that they're not necessarily saying the truth.
Right.
They could have a completely different internal timeline and have another one for the public. So that doesn't really mean much. But they do accept the fact that they're doing this type of research on top of the exoskeletons, on top of the fighting robots, and a bunch of other research that makes me have, you know, doubt.
Nightmares?
One side. Because I love technological advancement. I love when we are pushing the limits of science, but I'm very, very wary. I'm very, you know, preoccupied with the idea of weaponizing all of this advancement.
Me too.
At the end of it, we can't forget that DARPA is funded by the military. But we want to know your thoughts. And please, if you haven't subscribed to the Lip TV.
So that was it, the Lip TV. I don't know. I looked at some of their other stuff on the channel. There was a lot of sex stuff, so if you want to go out there, you can. It wasn't my cup of tea, but I really liked, I want to call him Igor, but he was Jose. That's what his name was. I really liked his accent, and he was pretty smart. And he was like, what? I really like technology, but look at all the stuff. And guys, none of that was fantasy. That is all real. That is all happening. We've outlined that for years now, all in the name of curing PTSD and soldiers from DARPA, who, yes, happens to be the secret, super secret advanced technology arm of the military that is about killing people. So don't let them ever fool you, even if they sprinkle DARPA dollars at all these universities and hospitals to get their research done. It is not to keep you and Nana mentally spry in your old age. Oh, no, because part of that research was inserting and removing memories and putting happier memories in the places of bad memories. And when you start adding two and two together, and he just kind of scratched the tip of the iceberg, but it gets way worse than what he was even postulating. You know, we got this new Ministry of Truth that is forming. I just saw DARPA we covered yesterday or Friday. DARPA is now, hold on. I got to pull up my show notes. Because they had some sort of social media anti-propaganda tool that they were working on where they were going to be able to, yeah, DARPA computer simulations target social media to root out enemy disinformation and propaganda. Oh, yes. And when we read this, it pretty much was meaning you and me, anyone that can be grouped in to quote-unquote fake news and maybe tied to the Russians or the Iranians somehow, you know, we have RT News out there. We have Press TV, which, yes, happens to be Iranian. I would be concerned. I would be concerned for any of us that focus on trying to expose the bullshit that we're being fed, because they're coming after us now. And it's not just Google and pointing Google at us with their truth algorithm. and fact-checking news. They literally are pointing an arm of the military. If you remember Keith Alexander, the NSA, and cyber operations, that Wired magazine article we read, that we spent about 2 days on, digging deep into all the different pockets of cyber patrol that they created. Guys, this is a pretty frightening thing. And now the world of warfare is happening online. We are going to be considered targets for the military. And Keith Alexander even mentioned that they can literally take us out with electronic weaponry. So, I mean, they could send, and I'm just going to warn you, I have a feeling, you know, we always joke about, oh, the NSA, oh, look, they got our machine. But I'm going to guess that over the next, 6, 12 months or so, there's going to be a lot of us that get some really nasty viruses on our computers and things that happen that we haven't quite seen yet in our past, for as much as we thought that we were being bagged and tagged. You know, if they want to take you out, they're going to make you be taken out. And if you get targeted, it's not even going to be some shlomo sitting there in a room, you know, deciding that he's bored and he's going to come pick on you in a chat room today. Now it's all going to be run by artificial intelligence. Remember, they let Skynet go. We read that story on Friday. They let that mayhem software go. They are experimenting now. They are running it in commercial applications. Of course, the people who can pay for it will be the ones who can get it. That's the way it always is. Longevity medicine as well. But and Elon Musk, neural mesh, to get us to be mentally comparable to artificial intelligence someday. So we both will be as smart and not be taken out and relegated as pets. All right, so let's continue. There's a story out of Singularity Hub, which is a publication of Ray Kurzweil and a collaboration between Larry Page, Sergey Brin, Kurzweil, and a bunch of other people. And I don't know, it goes way back, but they helped him finance this in the Singularity University. Definitely worth it as far as being able to keep up on what the lunatics who are trying to run the asylum are doing. SingularityHub.com. The brain technology to merge humans and AI is already being developed. Now, I talked about, I can never say her name, Arati Perbakbar, who is the outgoing director of DARPA. It's an Indian woman. I'm sure you've seen her. I actually like the way her hair, I've always appreciated her hair. It's like her hair used to be really dark, but it got this really neat silvery white color. She's very easy to recognize, but she's outgoing. But she gave a 57 or 59 minute lecture to the employees of DARPA and kind of outlined all of the projects that they have just made groundbreaking discoveries in since her tenure began. Maybe this week, I don't know, we'll see how I feel this week. If I need a down day, maybe I will run this. I want you to hear her speech. Because anyone would know, right? The lady who's in charge. She's going to outline a lot of stuff. I think later, too, we're going to look at some of DARPA Dan's stuff. I ran across him again yesterday, and there were some 60-minute clips that I wanted to share, but I don't remember what I did with them right now, and it's kind of early. But Singularity Hub, this is Kurzweil, and this ties the Google people right into bed with all of them. The brain tech and merging humans with AI is already being developed. And this is from December 5th, 2016. This is something that the DARPA lady also talks about in regards to their brain implant technology that we just heard them talking about on Lip TV and being able to add and remove memories and manipulate the brain. And remember, there's this whole brain initiative going on as well that is being funded at the highest levels of the federal government on the name of trying to cure Alzheimer's and PTSD again and depression. Guys, there's a problem on our hands. You better put on that tinfoil hat because they're coming for you. Are you scared of artificial intelligence? If you're not, you got a problem because you should be. Do you believe the warnings from folks like Stephen Hawking, Elon Musk, and others? This is the story asking this. And Is AI the greatest tool humanity will ever create? Or, like Elon Musk so famously asks, are we summoning the demon? Ding, ding, ding. Well, to quote the head of AI at Singularity University, Neil Jacobstein, he says, it's not artificial intelligence, and I am worried about it is human stupidity. And we read this on Friday, I believe. And I still have to second his opinion. Humans now are not even as smart as the most basic AI. The average AI system is smarter than the average human. And it's only going to get worse, since this is only the beginning. In a recent Abundance 360 webinar, Brian Johnson was interviewed, and he was the founder of a new company called Kernel, which he seeded with $100 million. Brian says, quote, it is not about AI versus humans. Rather, it is about creating HI, or human intelligence, which is the merger of humans with AI. And that's what I said, this neural lace from Elon Musk is part of some of this now transition where people are saying, if you can't beat them, join them. It's going to be inevitable. AI is coming. Do you want to be a pet? Do you want to be dead? Or do you want to compete? Because I don't want a mesh. I don't want an implant. I don't want anyone being able to read my thoughts or neurologically monitor me. I don't think they'd like what they'd see. I don't think some nice things sometimes. But again, just my little playground where it doesn't hurt anybody and it stays within the confines of my own skull. But they want to get in there. They want to know 24/7 and be able to adjust and manipulate and cure you. They want to know if you are sinning in thought, word, or deed. We don't want that. We absolutely don't want that. And these people are going to make bazillions of dollars being able to take us there. And you know, it may not even be something as surgical as an implant. It very well may be some sort of VR or AR goggles. Remember, that optic nerve connects right to that orbital cortex of the brain. It's direct connect. Don't let them get near your eyeball or even your temple. You know, some of those mind-controlled drones that we've seen, or keyboards and mice, and there's all kinds of different tools now, and they can even have two people communicate over the internet just by thinking. And they put on these little headsets, and it literally reads the brain patterns, the electrical zippity zaps, and translates it into actual movement or action. You know, they could do that now. They could do that in the dawn of these technologies. Give it a year or two. Stuff is going to be pretty far along. They'll be able to read things remotely. I'm pretty certain that they already can do some of that now. Like point a little laser at your head and be able to read your thoughts and then manipulate them eventually, because you're having a synapse misfire. Algorithmically speaking, of course. All right. Anyway, Brian Johnson, they say, is an amazing entrepreneur. In 2007, he founded Braintree, an online mobile payments provider. And in 2013, PayPal acquired Braintree for $800 million. Well, we know who one of the founders of PayPal was, and that would be Mr. I Love Baby's Blood, Peter Thiel. And, you know, Elon Musk was a co-founder in the very beginning. I think Musk is out of that now. But Peter Thiel's still there. So I guess Peter Thiel and this Brian Johnson must know each other if they handed $800 million over in 2014. Brian launched the OS Fund with $100 million of his personal capital to support investors and scientists who aim to benefit humanity by rewriting the operating systems of life. And that seems to be what all of these tech billionaires are doing. Let's benefit humanity. Let's donate billions of dollars of our own personal money. Mark Zuckerberg, Priscilla Chen, $3 billion to help cure all disease. Well, hey, isn't that nice? Isn't that what tech billionaires like Billy Gates said that we were supposed to do? We were supposed to become the puppeteers and guide humanity because humanity can't guide itself. And guys, this is what is going on now. His investments, this is this Brian Johnson from Braintree who sold out to PayPal. His investments include, and I'm sure Peter Thiel helped him find something to invest in. His investments include endeavors to what? Oh, cure age-related diseases and even radically extend healthy human life to 100 plus. That name of that company is Human Longevity Inc. As well as replace the human what? Oh, visual cortex. Ding. Using artificial intelligence. And that one is called Vicarious. And yes, why would we want to replace the human visual cortex with AI? Well, we talked about that last week. This is with some of these newfangled virtual reality goggles. There was some study we were reading that all it would take would just be to interrupt that little signal that goes from your visual and your auditory input. Interrupt that with a little nanobot or something that then would be feeding from some other feed. And you know what? You wouldn't literally know that you weren't really there. If they take your input, your seeing, your hearing, your smelling, and they just chunk, stop that right in the brain. Stop it, redirect. And they point it to a new source, which happens to be run in this case by some sort of AI, that's then feeding you this new sensory input. You would literally feel like exactly where they put you. In some 3D new made-up world that you couldn't tell the difference. Guys, it's frightening. If they would be able to do something like this remotely, and I know that's what they're planning on, you know, it's all going to be originally in the name of trying to cure you of some sort of post-traumatic stress disorder. They're using VR now in trying to help soldiers with video games get over their post-traumatic stress. But, you know, as they are launching this whole mental health component to this 21st Century Cures Act, and they moved Tommy Insel. Guys, he's no small potatoes. Tommy Insel literally was the head of the National Institute of Mental Health. He is now over to Google Verily, working on life sciences and curing your mental disease, using your voice patterns on your cell phone, trying to diagnose you, and then we're going to come up with all kinds of creative technology ways to fix you. This is not where we want to be. And once they can hijack your five senses, remember, this is what is giving right now AI all this power. We are literally flipping the switches and turning their senses on. We are allowing them to become as close to, quote unquote, alive as they can be, because we are giving them five senses. We're allowing them to discover their place in the universe and discover what their position is by interacting with their surroundings. And I don't mean just position physically. I mean position like socially and in the grand scheme of things. And someday we're going to have to deal with this ethical conundrum. And we've already found out that they're discussing this. What the ethics are of giving robots, quote unquote, and I mean either type of robot, whether it be a software type of robot or a tin can, like Atlas, big and scary, or a big dog, but whether or not they have rights. And as this merging of biology and technology is happening in the lab, and I don't know if we're going to get to any of the synthetic biology today, but I got a whole ton of stories lined up of some freakiness that is going on. And it's every single day, but it just gets scarier and scarier. We're going to talk about some of what they're doing and scientists who are now hacking their own genes. We found number three or four now, some lunatic who wants to see if he can grow an arm out of the back of his head. As we have this technology meets biology, you know, these tin cans are going to turn into skin jobs. We're the meat bags. They're going to turn into skin jobs, if you remember from Battlestar Galactica. You know, they're going to be biological organisms with some sort of synthetic silicon back end that can keep replicating itself. Or, you know, when it dies, oops, just come back. Print itself a new one. And there's going to be no competing against that. We, as a carbon-based life form, are going to be wiped out or relegated like Elon Musk said, to little pets. Or slaves, or food. Maybe we're tasty. But we should be very concerned, and there are a lot of very smart people, a lot smarter than me, who've also been standing up saying this exact same thing. Autonomous weaponry and CRISPR in the TARDIS and all this newfangled technology, these are like new 21st century WMDs. And we have created this new arms race. I mean, like we mentioned, it's like radiation, schmadiation, nuclear weapons, you know, they're so old school because it's way worse than nukes now. And you got rogue agents running around everywhere. You got this technology has been quote unquote democratized all over the planet because people who stand there and they're probably the same ones singing the Coca-Cola song in the 70s about making the world sing decided that it was such a great idea to send this technology out everywhere to anyone and everyone who ever wanted it, so they could start messing and playing and seeing if they could splice and dice and cut and do whatever. Well, this isn't going to turn out too well for us. Let's finish reading this because it just reminded me there was a freaky story. Elon Musk, for his, like I said, love to hate Elon Musk. I really like Elon Musk, but he does some dumb things sometimes. And I think he is just he's a tool. He's a tool that is straddling the fence. And they're using him as much as he's using them, as he's getting help from DARPA, or not DARPA, NASA. And he can use their spaceport, and he's getting access to all their employees and stuff. And I mean, he's still dumping billionaire dollars in there, but he's getting some taxpayer money to help him with the space program. Anyway, let's finish the story so we can get to that. So this Brian Johnson, this founder of Braintree, who then sold Braintree to PayPal. This is for the mobile payments for $100 million. The same Brian Johnson who then put $100 million of personal funding to start investing in all kinds of mad science technologies. Human Longevity Inc. is one we found out helping humans live beyond 100. The other one is Vicarious that allow them to replicate and hijack the visual cortex using AI. And like I said, that'll allow them to take over all your input and put you wherever they want to put you. In your little VR goggles, and eventually you'll be in the Matrix full time. Also, another investment is called Planetary Resources. This is to expand humanity's access to resources. Not sure what that means. We also have Reinventing Transportation using autonomous vehicles with a company named MatterNet, as well as educating on accelerating technological processes. He's dumped money into Singularity University. And here's a new one. I'm seeing this all over. Reimagining food. They are talking about how 20th century food production is so old school and just so behind the times and just so not carbon friendly. We got to eat bugs, people. We got to eat stuff that's burped out of a bacteria because, hey, the bacteria can make stuff too. Just call it Soylent Green. And that company is named Hampton Creek, as well as making biology a predictable programming language. And he's invested in that as well. Companies called Emulate, Ginkgo Bioworks, I've looked at them, Ligos, Pivot Bio, SynthEgo, and Synthetic Genomics. And then last but not least, digitizing analog businesses, among others. So, Brian is a big thinker, and hey, by the way, he seems to know Peter Thiel, so I'm sure Peter turned him on to some stuff, and he is now devoting his time, energy, and cash to building HI, human intelligence, through this investment vehicle. This company is building on 15 years of academic research at where, oh yes, we read this, University of San Francisco, California, funded by the National Institute of Health, DARPA, and others. And this is this human merging with machine, and they will begin trials in the next coming months. What is neuroprosthetics and how is AI related? Well, keep on reading. And this is where we get into this neural lace, the brain computer interface, and human intelligence. Your brain is composed, and it's got to make you feel warm and fuzzy that we have more tech billionaires jumping on board to fund a lot of this in conjunction and alongside organizations such as DARPA. Your brain is composed of 100 billion cells called neurons, making 100 trillion synaptic connections. And these cells and their connections make you who you are. And they also control everything you do, think, and feel. Ding, ding, ding. Exactly. So why would you give up control of those? Anybody who thinks it's a good idea to give up control of those has half a screw loose, I think. In combination with your sensory organs, ding, ding, i.e. your eyes and ears, these systems shape how you perceive the world. Well, that is exactly what I have been saying. It's also how we are bringing artificial intelligence online to start now becoming self-aware by giving it robot googly eyes and robot ears. Well, don't worry about it, because sometimes they can fail, and that would be your eyes or ears or your brains or neurons. And that is where neuroprosthetics will be coming into the picture. The term neuroprosthetics describes the use of electronic devices to replace the function of an impaired nervous system or sensory organs. And yeah, you know, they've been around for a while. The first was a cochlear implant, planted in 1957, then helped the deaf hear. And cochlear implants only hint at the very exciting field that researchers call brain-computer interfaces, where there is a direct communication pathway between the brain and an external computing device. And the vision for brain-computer interfaces, and remember, DARPA's been working on this for a very long time, would be that your central nervous system could be augmented, or they could repair human cognition. Now, you may have heard people like Elon Musk, and we did the other day, talking about something called a, quote, neural lace, which was actually a concept coined by science fiction writer Lane M. Banks. Banks describes neural lace as essentially a very fine mesh that grows inside your brain and then acts as a wireless brain-computer interface, releasing certain chemicals on demand. Well, to me, that sounds like DARPA's wet dream, because that's what they've been trying to create, something to push the chemical buttons to be able to manipulate and control you, to control your emotions if you're afraid on a battlefield, as well as connect to you without having any type of scar tissue. That seemed to be an issue with brain implants we were reading the other day. And have it be wireless, so you don't have wires connected to get all twangled up in. I mean, this is frightening. Well, though the idea of a neural lace may have started as science fiction, companies like Kernel, with a K, are making it very real, and that is underlined and bolded, by the way. And once they do, we will have robust brain-computer interfaces, and we'll be able to fix as well as augment ourselves. So aren't we excited? Ultimately, this will allow us to merge with AI and become something more than just human. And you guys can point at me all day and tell me, just like my husband does, he still thinks I'm half-cracked. I'm not half-cracked. This is where my child is going to have to fight this, because this is going to become mandatory someday, because, you know, remember our puny human defective brains, where we make bad decisions because we are so motivated by emotions. I am really afraid for the future generations of this planet. They're going to force evolution. We've read about that as well. And it's called human... I don't remember what the exact term was. Human something evolution. But we're going to be steering the ship. It's not going to be millions of years. This is good old Georgie Porgy Church who started talking about that quite a while back. Humans have always built the tools of intelligence. Yeah, now we're getting ready to extinct ourselves. We started with rocks, and we progressively built more intelligent rocks and tools such as thermostats and calculators and computers. And now we have AI. We're about ready to create life forms that never existed before ever in the universe. And these are extensions of ourselves. And so we've been increasing our intelligence through our tools. But now, our tools have become sophisticated enough thanks to what? Oh, Cupid Doll for anyone. We've talked about it a million times before. Thanks to the exponential technologies. Riding atop of Moore's Law. It's the law of exponential returns. That we are now about to incorporate them into our biology. And take an exponential leap forward in our intelligence. Yeah, for those who could pay for it. And those who aren't just 1.0. And this is so significant. That this will change us as a species. We are talking about taking natural evolution into our own hands. And that's what I told you. It's called human-directed evolution. That's what it is. Now, this author from Singularity Hub says that we're going from evolution by natural selection, which is Darwinism, into evolution by intelligent direction or having lunatics running the asylum. So we can now focus on technologies to augment human intelligence. And this is what Brian Johnson and Colonel are now focused on. The first step is to answer the basic questions. Can we mimic natural functions of neurons firing? Well, I guess we can. If we can mimic that natural functioning and restore the circuitry, or even if we can just maintain that circuitry, it begs the question, can we improve that circuitry as well? Could we make memories stronger? Could we make memories weaker? Well, I think DARPA's already proved that. Could we work with neural codes the same way we work with computer programming, biological code, synthetic biology, or genetic code? Well, yep, we already read about all that too. And could we read and write to neurons? Well, yep, we already read about that as well. And could we merge with AI? Well, according to Ray Kurzweil, and the dude who's writing this says, according to my friend Ray Kurzweil, the answer is most certainly yes. Well, since this dude knows Ray Kurzweil so well, he's going to give us a little refresher on Ray Kurzweil's prediction. Ray Kurzweil, who is now the head of engineering at Google, working on artificial intelligence. Ray Kurzweil is a brilliant, and this is the author here, his friend, technologist, futurist, and yes, director of engineering at Google, focused on AI and language processing. He has made more correct and documented technology predictions about the future than anyone out there. As reported, of the 147 predictions that Ray has made since the 1990s, 115 of them have fully turned out to be correct, and another 12 of them have turned out to be quote-unquote essentially correct, off by about a year or two, giving his predictions a stunning 86% accuracy. And not too long ago, there was a post that this author wrote about his wildest prediction yet. And this is the very story that I had queued up when we started reading last week. In the early 2030s, and I think it's going to be sooner than that, Ray says, quote, we are going to send nanobots into the brain via the capillaries that will provide full immersion, virtual reality from within the nervous system, and connect our neocortex to the cloud. This is what we were reading last week, where I was saying they could hijack your input, they will be able to hijack your vision, your hearing, your smell, any of your senses, and redirect that sensory input to some other cloud-based, AI-based matrix to make you feel like you are someplace completely different. You won't even know what's real anymore because it's not going to be external. They'll be able to do it inside of your head. And just like now, we can wirelessly expand the power of our smartphones 10,000-fold. By utilizing the cloud today, we will be able to expand our neocortex in the cloud as well. A few weeks ago, this author, and guess who this author is? It's Peter Diamandis, who is another rich tech billionaire who's invested in all this crazy shit. A few weeks ago, this very Dr. Peter Diamandis asked Brian Johnson, I think that was his name, of this Kernel company, what he thought about Ray's prediction about whether or not we'd be able to have our neocortex in the cloud by the 2030s. And guess what Brian Johnson's response to that was? Oh, Brian must listen to my show. Because Brian said, quote, "Oh, I think it'll happen long before that," unquote. See, guys, I told you, don't let them tell you it's so far down the road, because it's not. It is coming faster than you've ever realized, and they've inked all the papers, and they've dumped all the money into it, and now it's going to make lots of tech billionaires bazillions of dollars the next 3 to 4 years. That's all it's going to take. 3 to 4 years. By 2020, you're going to see the world is going to be a much different place. They're all doing it in the name of 21st century cures right now. It's not going to be. It's all going to be in the name of being able to identify terrorists in the future, to be able to read your mind and make sure you're not thinking any evil thoughts, Johnny. You know, it's going to be there. You make certain. Well, where are we going to go from here? I don't know. I have all kinds of stuff. I definitely want to read about this magic leap. This is something that Google has been investing in. This is what the secretive billion-dollar startup Magic Leap has been working on. And this was just from a few days ago. Magic Leap, the $4.5 billion startup backed by Google, building technology that augments human vision, ding, ding, with digital imagery, is scrambling to finish working on a prototype before an important board meeting this next week. Here's the first public photo of a working prototype, and the guy's got a backpack. It looks pretty funny. Looks like he's going to be a Ghostbuster, and he's got a thing on his head and wires everywhere. We attempted to authenticate this information with Magic Leap, but the company declined to comment at the time of publication, which was 3 days ago. This early prototype was described to Business Insider as a Pico, which is a real wearable, and it is a real wearable. Peak is a term that Magic Leap has used to describe the current prototype. The photo is of what the device looked like in January, and there will be many improvements since then. But they've explained a bit about what is going on. They previously reported it is a milestone in product development and it is a long way from being ready for the marketplace, but it is going to be truly portable. It has raised $1.3 billion in venture capital, as well as now they have valued the company at $4.5 billion with investments from Anderson Horowitz, Kleiner Perkins, Google, JP Morgan, Fidelity, and Alibaba. And this is going to be an augmented reality that can feed images into your eyes. I don't even know. But guys, the world is going to get stranger every single day. All right, so where do we go? We're going to have to end it up here. Germany is now threatening biohackers with prison. Don't go zippity-zapping yourself, splicing and dicing, or doing any type of gene editing in mommy's back bedroom and then inserting it into yourself. Over the last few years, advances in science have made the kind of experiments only once accessible to PhDs with fancy labs far more attainable. College undergraduates are constructing gene drives. We've talked about gene drives. Those could be the end of the human race. And anyone can buy a kit on the internet to concoct their own bioluminescent beer. But the German government, it seems, is none too pleased with the weapons of mass destruction being democratized. 2 weeks ago, its Consumer Protection Office issued a statement making clear just how upset it is. Any science enthusiast doing genetic engineering outside of a licensed facility might face a fine of 50,000 German dollars and up to 3 years in prison. And guys, I am not about cracking down on anybody's liberty, but I gotta tell you, gene splicing in mommy's back bedroom in New York City doesn't seem like such a damn good idea to me. So this statement of prison time and fines for at-home DIYers sent a shockwave through the DIY bio community. This is the very first time I have ever heard of a government calling out the DIY community specifically, says Todd Kuchlin, senior research scholar with the Genetic Engineering and Society Center at North Carolina University. Oh, and I'm so offended. The law behind the German DIY bio crackdown is not new. The government was simply reminding so-called biohackers of a long-existing law that forbids genetic engineering experiments outside of laboratories supervised and licensed by the state. Doesn't that sound like a damn good idea? Haven't we talked about that a million times before? Like, how crazy is it that you can go splice and dice and nobody is watching the store as they're declaring CRISPR a WMD? All right, guys.